Happy Saturday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Boy, where do you start this week? I mean, it's just one thing after another, isn't it? And, you know, none of it good and all of it stemming from the ideological focus of Barack Obama and the minions he has put in place. We're going to talk about three things today. We're going to talk briefly about ISIS. You know, it's been beat to death by the mainstream media maybe 4 months after I brought it to your attention. The mainstream media has also caught on just in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks about the connection between terrorism in the United States and the open borders on the South, something we brought to your attention more than 6 months ago. Go back, listen to the archives. And I just heard about 2 days ago about several pundits on TV, radio, etc., talking about, well, you know, if Arab terrorists, Muslim terrorists, if they're willing to strap a bomb to their body and blow themselves up, why wouldn't they infect themselves with Ebola and just fly around, walk around, spit on people, whatever, here in the States and start an epidemic? Really? Gee, I think you listeners heard me say that months ago. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. This is not hard. Some of the things you don't know about ISIS this week. So in 2 months, we've launched 200 airstrikes. Now, 200 sorties a day would be what you were doing if you were serious. I told you when this first started, more than 2 months ago, that Barack Obama is on the side of ISIS. They, to him, are freedom fighters. They are the anti-colonial force. And in his twisted perception of the world and his narcissistic inner self, he does not want to hurt them. I gave you an example in my last radio show. When we started the bombing, he gave him 12 days notice. Then, prior to the bombing, he alerted the governments of Iran and Syria. I'm sure they didn't utter a peep to their buddy Muslims. Then he bombed the ISIS facilities in Syria, rather sporadically, during a time when they didn't have people in them. You know, this is not by accident. We don't have a stupid military. This was by orders. I'm sure the military was screaming up one wall and down the other. But we have a more serious situation. Those poor Kurds up in the north on the Syrian border, I'm sorry, on the Turkish border, they're about to lose their key town. They're hanging on by their fingernails. There's been 3 airstrikes in their support in the last week. Today, you could watch on TV, literally, ISIS tanks and armored vehicles, all of which, of course, are American, taken from the Iraqis, and we can trace that back to Mr. Obama's questionable motivation, shall we say, which Leon Panetta has now released a book on. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. You can see the tanks out in the open. I mean, you can see from the TV crews. Been no airstrikes there in support of the Kurds, who are staunch allies of ours, or were, in 2 days. All that armor is out in the open desert, outside the town. The population has flown the coop, as they rightly should, the alternative being crucifixion or beheading. And it's a perfect situation for air power, yet there are no strikes. You know, there are no coincidences, folks. None at all. And then, you know, we have this revelation by Panetta. I guess it's a revelation to lots of people in Washington. It's no revelation to me, and it's no revelation to you if you've been listening to my show for any length of time whatsoever. I told you to begin with. I told you years ago back in 2009, 2010. And we had some big national interviews. Go back in the archives and listen. That Barack Obama didn't want to leave troops in Iraq. Everybody thinks it's because of politics, and it certainly has something to do with that. And it's because of, he had promised to get us out of Iraq and yada, yada, yada. My theory is different. My theory is the mess that's occurring over there, he wanted to happen. Remember, this is the guy who went into Libya, took down the government, and left. Libya is now about to, if it has not already, fallen into extremist Islamic hands. Yet another safe haven for our enemies. The same thing, by the way, is happening with Yemen. Remember the success stories that he touted when he talked about his new campaign in Syria and Iraq? You thought he was making a mistake? No. He wasn't making a mistake. He was subconsciously telling you that he's happy with the chaos over there. And there's a number of reasons. Number one, he is at the least a Muslim sympathizer. Number two, he really doesn't give a damn about the safety of the United States. Quite the contrary. And number three, it's the unholy alliance. Go back 4 weeks, listen to my show. The unholy alliance between the left and extreme Islam. And there is one. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. But Panetta's book is quite revealing. It really catches the administration in yet another lie. I mean, I don't know about you. I've lost track of the lies. You know, you keep your doctor. I didn't know about the IRS. There wasn't a smidgen of evidence. I mean, the list, I could do an hour show and just list his lies and those of his administration and his little henchlings that run hither, yither, and yon in his agencies and departments. Let me ask you, let me riddle you this, Batman. So, if he pulled out all the troops because there was no status of forces agreement, which Panetta has exposed as there was no status of forces agreement in Iraq because Barack Obama didn't want a status of forces agreement. He could have had one, which I've been telling you for years. But if he pulled all the troops out because there was no legal protection for them because there was no status of forces agreement, tell me, the 2,000 or so troops he sent back in that are there now advising Iraqis, Kurds, etc., is there a status of forces agreement now, folks? So, let's see. He pulled out all the troops because there was no status of forces agreement, and the troops would have been exposed. That's what he told us. Yet now he's sending troops back in with no status of forces agreement. Seems to be kind of a contradiction in realities. Anyway, kind of an interesting point for you to think about. You know, in the end, liars get caught in their lies. And dishonest and evil people get caught in their own web. And then, of course, we have Ebola. Again, unfortunately, I predicted Ebola would get to the United States, that it could likely be used as a terrorist weapon. So far, thank God, as far as we know, it has not been. But that, you know, we faced a real risk with open borders, etc. Well, now we have a situation where, even though Barry told us it would never happen, and his CDC guy, who he appointed, you know, kind of like Kathleen Sebelius and the head of IRS, you know, the same kind of lackeys, he gets up in front of the cameras over the last few days, said, okay, well, you know, now, yes, we have an Ebola patient, but don't worry, we have it under control. Yet all these people don't want to, they don't want to shut down flights from Liberia, Nigeria, and the two other countries over there, which unfortunately are dealing with this horrible disease? Really? Huh. And why would that be? Why would that be? And they haven't sent any medical units to the southern border? I mean, they haven't done anything with the southern border. Why would that be? You know, nothing happens in a vacuum. Things don't happen, or things happen for a reason. The lack of action is an action, and it's a choice, and the choice is made for a reason. Just like Obama is doing a political show with ineffective, limited, virtually non-existent airstrikes, trying to help himself with the midterm elections so he can keep Harry Reid and the Senate majority and do more damage to this country, which he abhors, and to the military, which he hates, and to you and I, whom he despises. Let's think about this for a moment. And I want to really hammer this home. This is not just Barry. This is Barry and all the people he's put in all these positions of power, his shadow government, his czars, his agency heads, his department heads. All the good people like Panetta have left. And, you know, I've done a few shows on him, too. Go back in the archives, read my shows on executive orders. There's some interesting and revealing stuff about Mr. Panetta in there. But putting that to the side, we have a situation here where it's not just Barry and who he's appointed, it's Democrats. Democrats across the board don't want to shut down flights from those countries into the United States. Democrats have staunchly resisted closing the southern border. Democrats, with a very few exceptions, have staunchly resisted the Keystone Pipeline on the energy side of things. Democrats, with almost no exceptions, have applauded his no boots on the ground, you know, his limitation of our actions before we begin our actions and the 12 days notice to the enemy. This is a Democrat problem. You know why? Because they're not Democrats anymore. The Democratic Party does not exist. It has ceased to exist. It is the progressives. They are communists. And many of them are, in fact, in league, knowingly or unknowingly, the unholy alliance with extremist Islam. Go back and listen to my show. I give you a bunch of bullet points that you absolutely, positively can't ignore, and they are facts, they are not surmise. Now we have this, with the Ebola thing, you know, some of the Senate Republicans, Cruz, actually, was the leader, tried to introduce a bill. Number one, they've tried to introduce a bill to shut down all immigration, visas, passports, etc. from the countries that are stricken from Ebola. The Democrats oppose it. Cruz also introduced a bill to strip all Americans who are fighting with ISIS of their passports. Not only because, obviously, they are no longer United States citizens when you take up arms against your country with a foreign power, a foreign fanatical power, but just as obviously, particularly with the FBI giving warnings about the very same problem, these guys can get back in the United States and wreak havoc. The same with a bunch of their European counterparts, several of whom are stars, you know, starlets in the beheading films, which keep rolling our way, no pun intended. So anyway, Mazie Hirono, a huge Obama supporter like 99% of the Dems, no matter what they say now, they all have 96, 97, 98% voting records with Barack Obama. Mazi Hirono, Democrat, Hawaii, blocked Cruz's consent motion. And when questioned, here's what she said. She claimed that Cruz's bill would affect, I quote, fundamental constitutional rights. Legislation that grants the government the ability to strip citizenship from Americans is a serious matter, raising significant constitutional issues. This is the same Democrat, along with the other Democrats, who applaud every time Barack Obama lifts his pen and his phone and trashes the Constitution and goes around Congress and ignores the controls in the Constitution on the executive branch. I mean, the hypocrisy is just staggering. And the fact that she's playing with the safety of me and you and our families and this country and its infrastructure is treason. That's all it is. It's just treason. Like many of the rest of the Democrats. Including, I might add, Udo down there in Colorado. You Colorado folks, I don't know, you know, I might have to divorce you from my radio show if he gets reelected. 97% voting record with Barack Obama. Now he won't show up with him at a fundraiser. Tell me, what kind of scumbag votes one way, tries to hide his vote, and doesn't stand on his principles in front of his constituents? This is who you want in Washington representing you? Really? Wow. Let's go back to Ms. Hirono. So, there's a problem with Hirono's pathetic excuse. The Expatriate Terrorist Act of 2014, that's Cruz's bill, simply amends an already existing law, 8 U.S.C. 1481, which does a lot of things, including that a person, an American, is considered to have voluntarily renounced their U.S. citizenship if they serve in the armed forces of a foreign nation that is engaged in hostilities against the United States. Boy, it kind of makes common sense to me. The Expatriate Terrorist Act of 2014, which is an add-on to this existing law, simply adds one little clause. The words, quote, designated terrorist organization, unquote. You know why? Because the law that allows legislation that grants the government the ability to strip citizenship from Americans fighting with foreign powers is 75 years old, folks. 75 years old. It goes back to World War II. Of course, at that time, you didn't have ISIS, which I guess you could actually qualify as a nation now. They certainly have the land area, the borders, the government, etc. But it didn't go back to Al-Qaeda, you know, a stateless foe of ours. So Cruz's amendment does nothing more than add terrorist organizations, and the Democrats oppose it. Okay. I'll let you think about that when you talk to your friends between now and Election Day and when you walk in the polls and decide which lever to pull. You know, it's entirely possible that... let me give you another paradox. So Barack Obama, her hero, along with the rest of the Dems, they applaud and they whistle and they shout and they stomp their feet and they beat their chests and they tell us all how great they are, what hawks they are against this terrorist threat because Barry sends a few drones over and drills a high mucky muck in some terrorist organization from time to time, including Americans. So these guys applaud Barry going over there and killing Americans, but they stand in the way of stripping passports from Americans who are fighting over there. In other words, it's okay to kill Americans over there, but it's not okay to take their passports. Yeah, I mean, it boggles the mind, does it not? Apparently, they think the constitutional rights of ISIS terrorists trump the constitutional rights and security and safety of the American people. Apparently. You know, or are they just obsessed with protecting the Obama regime's narrative that ISIS is being degraded? Really? I don't think they're being degraded. You can watch the report. You can watch the TV. You can see them advancing out in the open. No planes. Amazing. Amazing. And you know, that brings me to the third thing we're going to cover in this show. Because while all this crap is going on, and everybody, including the press, is totally diverted by Ebola, which is a very serious problem and could be a huge problem for all the reasons we've discussed. And, you know, hopefully it won't be. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible virus. And we're diverted by ISIS, which is a huge problem and a real and imminent threat to the security of each and every one of us here at home. And given their latest edict for lone wolves to go out and find military families and slaughter them, particularly to military, we've kind of lost track of what's going on around things, right? The Democrats touted just a few days ago the unemployment rate supposedly dropping to 5.9%. Really? Go to realstatistics.com, folks. I keep recommending this site to you. And you will find that in many sectors of the economy and bands of the employment market, in fact, unemployment has now risen to over 20%. Remember, we have talked about this in previous shows. Go back in the archives. This unemployment number has been manipulated, twisted. It's kind of like the CPI. You know, what good is an inflation number if it doesn't include food or fuel? The dip in the unemployment rate is simply a function of people giving up, leaving the job market, and going on the public dole. That's all it is. If you want a real measure of the economy, we can take a look at manufacturing. Because manufacturing is kind of a huge chunk of the economy. We can look at other sectors too. I'm just going to concentrate on this one. So, in the last quarter, China held, first of all, they have an index. It's an official economic index. I won't bore you with all the details. If you're above 50, things are good so long as the trend is up. If you're below 50, things are bad if the trend is down. Trends also figure into the numbers. So China held steady at 51.1. I mean, that's barely over 50. The Eurozone is down to 50.3. Remember, we've been talking about Europe going back in the tank. Go back in the archives. You can find it easily. And I did a bunch of shows and a bunch of interviews, including with huge European economists, the former head of the European Central Bank. It's really a fascinating interview. And this was a year and a half ago. So Europe is down to 50.3. Germany, which is kind of the locomotive of the European economic train, is now in contraction. It's under 50. And the United States, gee, the Democrats aren't telling you this, are they? Went down 2 points. That's a big drop to 56.6. That was lower than any projection, even the most pessimistic economist forecast. And the trend is down. That is a better bellwether of the economy than the manipulated and completely false, contrived 5.9% unemployment rate. And I'll make your prediction. I'll make your prediction that changes. The numbers that drove that the government published today changes, because the unemployment rate, this is like the last report before the election. And the Democrats control all these departments. and they want a good report so they can tout something in the 30 days of hell coming at us between now and the time we all get to vote, and I really hope we all vote. There's another thing coming at us. I think it's November 30th. There's a vote in Switzerland. The vote in Switzerland, it's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. And the effects really aren't known. The vote in Switzerland, if passed, and Swiss voters, it's not the parliament, Switzerland's central bank would be forbidden from selling any of its gold. They're a huge supplier of gold to other central banks. The central bank in Switzerland would be required to buy enough gold to equal 20% of the country's foreign exchange reserves. That sounds like a lot of gobbledygook. Let's just say that they're moving back to a gold standard, which will solidify the Swiss franc and undermine the United States dollar and the euro, which is already being tremendously undermined by Russia and China and the BRIC countries, other shows I've done. And then all the Swiss gold that is supposedly held at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York would have to be returned to Switzerland. Now, you know, that's probably not a good thing for us. I can't tell you what the effect is, but I can tell you that in my gut, it's not good. So, there's one expert, I'm going to read you what he says. His name is Rickards. This would deliver both a demand shock in terms of requiring new purchases and a supply shock in terms of depleting the gold in New York used to manipulate the market. So, you know, what does that do to the dollar? Pretty interesting. The dollar right now, by the way, has strengthened because everybody is so damn scared all around the world that money is flooding into the United States, which, for all its problems, is still kind of the most stable, other than China, economic force in the world. And you know the problems we have, so that will tell you that the condition of the rest of the world is not too rosy. Not too rosy at all. And then the last thing we're going to talk about is something that I've been harping on many, many shows. I've had many, many national interviews, economist interviews, etc. Go back in the archives, look under finance, look under debt, you know, national debt. I mean, the chickens are coming home to roost. You know, we're at $17.7 trillion, another thing you don't hear about with all the distraction and clutter flying around. So I've talked in the past about the national debt, what I call the primary debt, $17.7 trillion now and growing rapidly. $20 trillion by the time Barry gets out of office. And he's clapping his hands, Cloward and Piven. Overburden the system till it collapses, and from the rubble build your socialist utopia. To boil it down to a nutshell. And I've also done a number of interviews and tried to point out to you that that's just the tip of the iceberg, that there's another $100 trillion of unfunded liabilities, which are every bit backed by the full faith and obligation, I use those terms advisedly, of the United States government. Federal pensions, Social Security, Medicare, all of which, by the way, has been exacerbated and accelerated by Obamacare, another thing you're not hearing about right now, but you will be. And I've talked about the states and the municipalities. Go back and listen to my shows about Detroit before it went bankrupt. Or California. I think the show was called Greece is California, or California is Greece. One or the other. It's in the archives. Listen to it. It's 2 years ago. And it's happening right now. Once again, folks, it's not because I'm particularly smart. I'm not. It's because actions or lack of actions result in consequences. 2 + 2 = 4. This is not hard to figure out. These people know it. They just lie to you. The $1 trillion gap is the name that was given by the Pew Center on the shortfall in state pension funds. The states have $3.35 trillion in obligations to people who have retired. Excuse me. My cough is not done yet. To people who have retired. That doesn't count people who are going to. This is just to date. But they only had $2.35 trillion on hand. And that was in 2010. It's gone down from there. Because all their monies were invested in hedge funds who charged 2 to 4% fees and 20% of the profits. Because the morons in the governments certainly can't handle that kind of money. And they probably have some type of cronyism going on with hedge funds. That's my surmise. I have no proof. So, number one, you know, all these states expanded their benefits, trying to buy votes, without considering any of the long-term price tag or how to pay for them. Then, many states began balancing their annual budgets using borrowings from the pension funds, kind of like, you know, the United States government has done with Social Security. And they've never replenished the funds, kind of like the United States government has never done with Social Security. And then on top of that, they all did these wild projections. And they all kind of jumped on the same bandwagon, kind of like the VA had the same set of cook the books going at, you know, 56 medical centers around the country. It was the lemmings headed for the cliff, smiling happily and wearing badges saying, vote for me. They were convinced that they would earn 8% on these pension fund assets over time. Well, listen, when you have a hedge fund taking 2 to 4% off the top every year and 20% of the profits, that makes that difficult to begin with. The current investment climate with zero interest rates makes it even more difficult. And then, of course, bad decisions make it impossible. And particularly if you've borrowed the money from yourself, so the money is not there to invest, you can't earn 8% on it, can you? So their entire model was based on 8% returns. And do you know what the returns were from 2000 to 2010? 3%. 3%. That's like 250% off. So the hole is getting deeper and deeper, wider and wider, bigger and bigger, faster and faster. And, you know, the piper's going to have to be paid. So CalPERS, speaking of my show a year and a half ago, Greece is California, or California is Greece, whatever the archives say. Maybe the producers can even put up the link for you. I don't know. CalPERS, that's the giant pension fund for government employees in California, they threw in the towel. They're no longer going to invest in hedge funds. Too bad they're a couple hundred billion too late. And listen, the gap is still there. That $1 trillion and rapidly growing gap in state pension funds is still there. Just like the $10 trillion gap at the federal level is and rapidly growing is still there. And remember what I've been trying to tell you, the only source of money a government has is your pocket or your property. So there's either going to be benefit cuts, and a lot of people are already experiencing that, or there's going to be tax increases or both. So, that is the show for today. I'm actually recording this very early in the morning. It's about 4:30 Saturday morning. It'll be posted here shortly. And I am off to sign books at Warren Air Force Base in Cheyenne. It is my delight to be invited down there by the base commanders and the exchange. And for you folks in the Cheyenne area, or if you have friends, family, or relatives at Warren, let them know and have them come in and see me today. I'm going to be there from about 10 to about 5. I'm set up right at the head of the exchange in PX. And I look forward to meeting them. I can't wait to meet all the great service people down there again. And the books are going to be a big discount for the military. And I would love to see you. So we'll end on a smiley face note here. But be thinking about some of these paradoxes we talked about today. And some of the tangents that are getting purposely lost in the Ebola-ISIS shuffle. Until next Saturday, keep smiling, stay safe, watch your top knot. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio.